Good morning and welcome to Morning Java, brought to you as always by Get Go Cafe and Market, where as always, you can get that pilgrim sandwich in the fall. I've had it twice now. It's fantastic. I'm Chris Carter. He's Tom Reed. And Tom, who do we got here as a special guest star?
This is Stevie. He just had his first pilgrim a week ago, and he loved it.
Well, that's great. Everybody should enjoy a pilgrim sandwich, which you can only get at Get Go Cafe and Market. Tom, we talked a lot about last week the Steelers and Browns matchup, and leading into it, you know, both teams had four wins. It was really exciting, and then it just turned into the same old beatdown the Steelers usually give the Browns, marking, I think, what, their 17th straight win at Heinz Field over the Browns, or 18th, if you consider – no, it's 17th. It's 17th. But
17, I know. It's hard to keep track.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track over the years. But, Tom, what was your response to just seeing just the way that it lost? Because to me, it was more than just the point differential. It was also about just how the Browns responded.
You know, they have made progress, but, boy, you couldn't tell it in that game. You know, they came into it game 4-1. This is, I think, the first time in 6 years that they were playing for first place in the division. And I it was too rich for him. It was Baker Mayfield had a terrible game. Myles Garrett had a sack, but really was kind of invisible. Odell Beckham kind of lost his rag there on the sidelines. And, you know, he wasn't a factor. You could count on one hand how many good players, or I should say players, had a good performance for the Browns. And it's both teams on the field. The Steelers were excellent. I think Mike Tomlin called it varsity football. And the Browns just weren't ready for it. I just thought that this was a game that showed that they're a team that just isn't quite ready for those big games yet. And they really looked like it. When it went 10-0, the game was over, at least as the way I looked at it. It's just they started to get that 100-mile stare about them, like, oh, here we go again with the Steelers. And the game just quickly devolved from there. And, you know, for them, it's just going to have to be a lesson that the next time that they get in this situation with a big game, they'll have to handle it better. As you know, in these type of situations, momentum, how you handle momentum swings in games is huge. Well, the Browns didn't handle it at all, right? They actually do a nice job limiting Pittsburgh to a field goal to start the game, give away just a terrible pass, by Mayfield, and it's 10-0. There's still 54 minutes left in the game, but the Browns were done. They were just shell-shocked by that, and it just kept getting worse and worse. The lead grew to 24-0 before the Browns finally got on the board, and you have to be able to manage momentum swings better than that, and that's part of a team that's just not used to being in big games. And again, credit the Steelers. They played terrific from number 1 to 53. The guys that – almost everyone that got in that game played really well. Washington had a terrific game. Claypool again impresses. James Conner would probably like to play against the Browns every game. He seems like he puts up 100 yards every time he plays against those guys. So just a complete effort, and it probably a great way to go into this coming week, which is, I think, you know, we're going to talk about here in a second.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a bit. I just think it was also, you know, I often talk about the in structural integrity of different teams and the foundation that they're working from on top of, you know, strength and talent on the field. You know, a lot of people were trying to sell that the Browns had changed and that they could handle those type of momentum swings and how they could respond better to things. But in that game, I mean, like you said, you know, even beyond just when they went down 10-0, I mean, you saw this team quit. You know, and even some of the guys that may have been trying, as a whole, it seemed like the team was out of gas midway through. And then they pull Baker Mayfield in the start of the fourth quarter. And then some people were like, well, that was just because his ribs were hurting and he was taking hard hits. But they also pulled Myles Garrett and Odell Beckham Jr. I believe Jarvis Landry soon after that. Like, they started pulling all of their stars. And it's like, you're not even going to fight in this game against your rival that you're supposed to be making a statement game against and that they've abused you for another year. And then again, when you see Odell Beckham Jr. arguing with fans on the sidelines, his cleats off his feet, and he's walking around in his socks, I just saw more of the same, that this is still a Browns organization that doesn't know how to win and doesn't seem to be getting pointed in the right direction to change that mentality.
Yeah, I think that's all fair. When you lay an egg the way that they laid one here this past week, then it's very natural to think it's still a lot of the same stuff. And again, they're going to have to fight through that. It's just one of those situations. I thought what was interesting, if you look back in the last, I don't know how many years of this rivalry, obviously it's been dominated largely by the Steelers. The Browns get a win in here and there. But the games have not necessarily, unless the Browns have been really awful, the games are usually fairly close. Like they're within a touchdown, 10 points. It's in like most NFL games, it's the outcome is in doubt going into the fourth quarter. I thought the Steelers took this challenge, I don't want to say differently, but they were like, okay, you want to step up here? You think you can play with a first place team? Let's have at it. And they were just, you look at obviously Mayfield takes a lion's share of the criticism for this because of the interceptions early in the game that led to two touchdowns, one directly. But the offense and defensive line of the Steelers dominated the game. They just absolutely just took it away from the Browns. Look through their play, the Browns playmakers, offensive or defensive, none of them made an impact. You know, Kareem Hunt, filling in, I don't say filling in because he plays a lot anyway, but for Nick Chubb, didn't do much. You know, Beckham was, we've talked for a minute about Odell Beckham. We say anything about his game because he didn't do anything. Jarvis Landry couldn't get going. The guy that controlled the game for the Browns as far as field position was their punter. And when your punter is one of your main weapons in a game, in a big game, you know it's not going your way. So we'll see if the Browns learn any lessons. If they do get back in this opportunity, their schedule is so weak. They still, I think, have a chance to win, 9 or 10 games. Although they've got to take care of business this week against Cincinnati because that game was fairly close. And then they go to Houston, a team that I think we can both agree is better than a 1-win team. They've had a really hard schedule to begin the season. And the Browns on the road is never a sure thing by any stretch. So they're going to have to kind of take care of some business here to give themselves another chance to impress people or say, look, we're not the same old Browns. But it's going to be weeks of kind of building themselves back up against after that stink bomb.
Rolling on with Morning Java here. Tom, a report came out that the NFL isn't considering any major punishments for the Tennessee Titans for their violations of the COVID-19 protocols. We saw the pictures and the reports that they were practicing off-site, off-facilities, while their facilities were closed. Further, on top of whatever breaks in the protocols might have caused the initial outbreak, if there were any, they definitely put themselves more at risk and the league more at risk with their decisions, as we saw their outbreak really span over 2 weeks and push back, the Steelers game to this week and push back their Bills game until that Tuesday night of that week. This just seemed like a very bizarre situation. And for their violation to be reported 2 days after Roger Goodell left that huge memo that said, there's going to be harsher punishments if you're breaking protocols. And now we're hearing no draft picks being taken, no forfeiting of games, no just fines. Does this to you ring like the NFL was just full of it the whole time?
I think it rings to me that the Titans were very fortunate. They were the first team to really go through this, where there wasn't really a hard and set fast. Everything was kind of changing on the fly. The NFL had, for the first couple of weeks of the season, kind of got through everything where, okay, well, we hopefully will be okay. And then all of a sudden you have this major outbreak with one team. And as you said, it wasn't like they had like 9 guys and then it was done. No, it was every day. It seemed like there was another player being caught, testing positive, or some personnel member testing positive. I think the only thing that saved them here was were really the first guinea pigs in all this, if that's the right word, that maybe there was some leniency. I know one thing, if another team ends up in that situation and having to forfeit a draft pick or getting some serious punishment, they'll look back and then say, why not the Titans? Why didn't they do it? They're the ones that that created all this. So I do see that point of view, and I certainly understand why the Pittsburgh side of it, it was just like, you know, look at the schedule that we're now put in because of these guys were irresponsible. I just again think that the Titans were very lucky that they were kind of the first team where everyone in the league office was probably trying to figure out what punishment, if any, we should give these guys. So I think they were fortunate in that way.
That's my thing, is that they may be fortunate in that way, but, you know, beyond the Steelers and their schedule changing, my thing is this, is that that's a message to any other team that goes to their first set of protocol violations. They can do whatever the heck they want. They can go practice off site and, you know, and try to not get caught. And if they get caught, they can say, oh, well, you let the Titans get away with it. You just fine us and we'll move on. We'll just take no forfeits or no lost draft picks. It just seems to me that was a major chance for the NFL to set a serious tone so that every other team in the league knows they can't do that. And now teams kind of know this is just like, a roughing the passer penalty or just an unnecessary roughness penalty where you flag me and then you fine me at the end of the week. You know, honestly, if we feel like this is going to make us better, why not do it? I don't know if that is the tone the NFL should have set with this instance.
Yeah. Again, I don't know where they kind of go from here on this. Where the NFL goes on this goes here, because again, it's just I do the only thing is I do give them, I don't want to sound like I'm not coming down. Someone shouldn't come down very hard on them, but I think again they just benefited from it was really the first major outbreak and they weren't quite sure what to do. And I probably wonder too is in the back of their mind if they weren't like, this could happen to six other teams in the next 8 weeks. And are we going to take away eight draft picks? Again, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here a little bit. I don't disagree with what you're saying. I'm just thinking that the NFL was caught in a situation where there's just no precedent for anything like this.
So, Tom, let's get to talking about the Titans-Steelers game. Both teams 5-0. This is, of course, going to be the game of the week for a lot of people. You look at the Titans, the way that they've been able to win. Derrick Henry's been going ballistic. Ryan Tannehill, extremely proficient with the football, efficient with the football. And you look at the Steelers, there's a lot of ways in how I think we were talking about last week, how I kept saying, you know, there was the unstoppable force meets the immovable object with the strengths of the Browns and the strengths of the Steelers. You have that again with the Titans running game with Derrick Henry. Being one of the best in the NFL, going up against the Steelers, which is still the number two ranked rushing defense after they just shut down the team that was the number one ranked rushing offense.
Yeah, in some ways, a little bit. The Browns in some ways kind of provided at least a blueprint for you know, similar type of approaches where the quarterback, I don't want to, you know, Tannehill, I still think is kind of a game manager, much the way Mayfield's trying to become. I do think that the Titans will put up a much better fight. If I look around the league right now, and I don't know if you would agree with me, but if the four teams to me that at this point of the season have a chance to go to the Super Bowl from the AFC, Kansas City, you look at Baltimore's probably going to at least be in the conversation, and the two teams that are playing Sunday. You know, I think the Titans, for all we've talked about with the COVID, you know, they're showing why they went to the AFC title game last year and gave Kansas City a major scare in the AFC title game before Kansas City had the big comeback. They're a heavy team. They're a strong team, very much built in Mike Vrabel's image. So I think this is a great test. It's a difficult test. And now who do the Steelers have right after this? Is it the Ravens?
Yeah, the Ravens.
I mean, again, this goes back to. It goes back to our second segment about how this is not an ideal back-to-back games for the Steelers, but you have to play what's in front of you. And they better not be looking past the Titans because they're a really solid team. I remember last year, Chris, at the beginning of the season, if you remember, that was the Browns opener against the Titans. And everyone was like, oh, my God, how could you get beat so bad by the Titans? You look back at the schedule. That season, the Titans ended up being one of the best teams they played all year. They're no joke, and that 5-0 record is no joke. I know they struggled to subdue Houston, again, another team that I think is a lot better than their record. This is going to be a really good test on Sunday, and if the Steelers can put up anywhere near the performance they put up against the Browns, then I think that, that they're really, really on the right track, because that's going to be a formidable test. These next 2 weeks, I think, are going to tell us a lot about where the Steelers' hopes are for winning us, or at least getting deep into the playoffs and having a shot at going to the Super Bowl.
You're absolutely right. It's a huge test for the Steelers against the Titans. And I think one of the things that might get overlooked is we look at some of the high-profile players on this team. You know, I really like Kevin Byard, a free safety. They got Jeffrey Simmons in the interior defensive line. You know, they've got athletes out there, but at the same time, you look at their total defense numbers, and you see their passing game, their passing defense and their rushing defense, both giving up significant, you know, amounts of yards, and both ranking towards the bottom of the league in those categories. This could be an opportunity for the Steelers offense to show, hey, you know, what happened last week wasn't just last week. This is something that can happen throughout the season, in the way that it was able to score touchdowns from all different ways. They had James Washington, Chase Claypool, Benny Snell, and James Conner all scoring touchdowns for them last week. Yeah. On top of the defense getting a score of its own. So you're absolutely right. I think this is a huge test, but I think a big part of this could be the Steelers asserting itself against a Titans team that's played very well, but they have their own struggles just like the Steelers do early on.
Yeah, and again, I think if there's any such thing as momentum going into a game like this, the Steelers have to feel really good about themselves. Again, in the Browns, we just spent 3 minutes talking about how bad they played. But the Steelers just – I go back to Mike Tomlin's. That was a varsity performance from just every facet of play. They have to feel real good. They have to feel real positive about their game. Where it is right now, you know, at the beginning of the season, we were talking about how they're getting by, they're winning, they're letting teams back in the game. It's not been a complete performance. Well, that was a complete performance, and that's the kind of game you want going into a kind of a showdown type of game at the top of the AFC.